This conference will.
Good morning and welcome to the Hidden Profits Teleseminar Series. The purpose of this series is to explore ideas of how to make your business more profitable by becoming more efficient and reducing costs. In modern business, we tend to focus first on revenue growth and second on financial engineering, and we completely overlook the cost structure except usually in direct cost of production or in delivering our service. Or in times like now when there's a downturn, we all scramble for how can we reduce costs. So when we do focus on reducing G&A costs like now, we end up going through budget slashing. And I call this the corporate crash diet. Just like people who want to lose weight in a hurry and drastically reduce eating, corporations want to lose costs fast and drastically reduce spending everywhere. However, as in the diet that can't be sustained and we gain all the weight back, so in corporate cost slashing, it can't be sustained, and we gain all and more of the cost back. We rarely change our eating lifestyles, and the same, we rarely change our corporate lifestyles. In dieting, we have all learned that the way to be successful is to incrementally change our lifestyles. This teleseminar is about looking at ways to make incremental changes in corporate lifestyle, taking advantage of technology, services from our suppliers and service partners, and best practice business processes. We as humans, and especially the collections of humans in a business, don't really like change very much. However, when it happens incrementally and we build an environment of rewarding small change, it usually doesn't trigger those anti-change alarms that we have in our psyches. So our subject today is managing cash expenditures and the procurement process. But before we get started, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my background. Once upon a time, when computers were just starting to be used in business, a young girl, me, graduated from high school. Her father desperately wanted her to become an accountant, but she said, "Oh no, that'll take too long. I want to get an apartment and a new car." So at that time in the kingdom, large companies were purchasing large computers and starting to automate transactions. It was really becoming a requirement for these companies because as they grew and became mega companies, they could no longer hire enough people to complete all the transactions of the business in a timely manner. So this created a need for people who were trained to write programs on these new big computers. The young woman had a prince of a high school counselor, and he suggested she enroll in a new curriculum in the junior college to become a computer programmer. So that was what she did, and she began an exciting career. Her fairy godmother made sure she secured a job with a company that had a tuition reimbursement program, so she decided to return to school and obtain her degree in accounting. Over the next 30 years, she worked with many companies to help them use the technology tools that were becoming ubiquitous. And she also built her own software consulting business and went through all the issues that many of you all face today in business. So that's my story. And I've seen a variety of companies and have worked in several of them in my career. And in most of them, there's really no real plan on how to use technology advances to improve business and no real foundation on which to build. As a result, technology becomes a collection of tools that are used individually, often without much value to the business. Also, we have so many technology options available today that it's overwhelming. So many businesses just stay with long-held business practices. So today, we're going to talk about the next area, which is the management of petty cash and corporate credit cards. In the last two sessions, we talked about the profitability vice and why it's important to start looking at reducing some of our costs and also how to build a strong foundation. So now we're going to start moving into the individual areas. So let's first look at petty cash. In days gone by, before computers or certainly before computer technology was available to everybody, petty cash was something that a company had to have. And it was usually literally a cash box that the owner of the company or management provided a certain amount of funds, several hundred dollars usually, for employees to use for reimbursement for small expenses that took place during the working week. So it would be for expenses such as meals that were provided, paying certain vendors that had COD terms, and they had to collect when they arrived at your door with whatever product or service they delivered. Also for reimbursing employees for parking expenses, for toll expenses, just things like that that the company needed to spend money on, and employees needed to be reimbursed right away, and there wasn't an easy way to do it, and writing checks for all of that was not realistic. Sometimes it was also for gas purchases, and, you know, in that one there's an issue in that lots of times employees would sneak in and have their own cars filled up and not just the corporate cars or used for corporate expenses. And in general, petty cash did have that flaw in it, that it was easy for employees to be reimbursed for expenses that either might not be real corporate expenses or might be expenses that were questionable as to whether they would really be approved. And then the companion to petty cash, as we moved into more technology, is the corporate credit card. So today, lots of times, instead of having your traditional petty cash, where you have cash, you have corporate credit cards, or you have corporate debit cards, or just a bank account that a person at the location, usually an office manager or the manager of the location or whatever, has signature authority on. And there's small amounts of money put in those bank accounts, and then the manager has checks and or debit cards that they're allowed to spend and use that money as they see fit, and then they just submit a request to have those funds replenished when they're running low on funds. And corporate credit cards tend to have open balances on them. A lot of people have gotten the American Express corporate card, first off because American Express was one of the first credit card companies to push a corporate credit card, and secondarily, American Express credit cards historically have no limit on them. And so in that way, managers were able to purchase goods and services for the company and without having to use their own funds, and then the company would pay for them. So what happens, what are some of the issues that come up with these things? In today's world, they're very difficult to control. So if you have these petty cash bank accounts, what I have seen happen is that managers at the locations where they have these petty cash bank accounts tend to use them to circumvent what they perceive as a cumbersome procurement process. And we're going to talk about that in the second half of this. And so they buy goods and services that they deem necessary for their location on using these funds or using the corporate credit card. And while these are legitimate needs for these type of services, they can easily be abused and also fraud introduced. So abuse comes in the forms of just small expenditures that add up. And I'm sure that many of you on your own credit cards, you know, you're out there and you're buying things and you say, oh, well, this is only $50 and this is only $25 and this is only $100, and so you're constantly putting out your credit card to buy things that are sort of impulse buys a little bit, and then all of a sudden you get the credit card bill, and the credit card bill is $500, $700, $1,000, and you're like, whoa, I didn't realize I spent that much money. And this is what happens in businesses, is you just have these little expenditures that keep cropping up, and employees submit that expenses that they need reimbursement for, and often today they say, oh, well, I forgot the receipt or I lost the receipt. So then the person that's divvying out the petty cash funds, well, they just go ahead and reimburse it anyway and just write a little note that says $40 for gas for, you know, going someplace, or $40 for gas in this particular corporate vehicle, or, you know, $38.20 for lunch and for client lunch. And there's not a real good paper trail and not a valid receipt of what this expenditure was for. And so pretty soon you start going through that money fairly quickly without a whole lot of review and control on what is being spent. And an example of the extreme on a credit card bill, this was with a particular client of mine, but what happened is what happens in a lot of companies. A corporate credit card was issued to a manager, but that manager then allowed people that worked for him to charge on that credit card for things that they felt needed to be purchased. And so what happened one day was this company provided lots of different services as it related to parking and shuttle buses. So one of the shuttle buses had a problem with the engine. And so the employee felt that it was absolutely mandatory that this bus be repaired immediately. And the repair bill was $16,000 for a rebuild on the engine. So he just went ahead and put it on the corporate American Express card. And there was some question when the whole thing came to a head as to whether his immediate manager was aware that this $16,000 was put on the credit card. But certainly the controller and CFO of the company didn't realize the $16,000 had been put on the credit card until the AP clerk received the credit card bill and paid it. And so she cut the check for it, and that went to the controller, and the controller was looking down through all the charges and found this $16,000 charge. Now, that was just one charge that stood out in a almost $100,000 American Express credit card bill. And this particular client is a $65 million in revenue client. So a $100,000 corporate American Express bill for a month is not an insignificant bill to be paid. And so while you did have one charge for $16,000, there were a lot of other smaller charges that had added up to this $100,000 bill that this company now had to pay. And for this company, over the years, a American Express bill of $50,000 to $100,000 had not become unusual. So that was showing that there was a lot of excesses on these American Express bills. But back to the $16,000 charge, of course, that one created a lot of controversy and suddenly a whole bunch of panic on how do we control this? Because while it is true that something needed to be done, this was a legitimate corporate expenditure for a legitimate corporate asset. But the question really was, did they want to spend the $16,000 that way, or was there other options? You know, simple things like, should we have gotten competing bids to see what could be done and if we could have gotten this repair done for less than $16,000? I mean, this is a large repair bill. Or another option is, was the vehicle one that they wanted to invest $16,000 in, or would it have been better to have sold the vehicle for whatever it could be sold for in terms of scrap and then purchase a new vehicle because maybe the vehicle was old and well beyond its life and there was not a reason to rebuild that engine as it was going to continue to have repair bills on it that would make it more expensive than just going out and buying another shuttle bus. So by having the charge put on the corporate credit card, management now no longer had the ability to look at their options. This bus had to now have its life extended so it could make up for that $16,000 repair bill. So those are some of the types of things that can happen and the surprises that can come to a CFO and controller of a company when we have both petty cash and corporate credit cards that aren't controlled. So what are some of the ways that we can start looking at using new services and new technologies to reduce the risk of both petty cash accounts and corporate credit cards? One of the easiest ones is most suppliers to corporations today, like shippers like Federal Express and UPS and even the post office, offer the ability to have corporate accounts where you have internet access to intershipments and even the ability to set up approvals so that managers can approve shipments. Office supply companies like Office Max and Staples, they all provide the same options. So you have lots of companies today that enable you to open up corporate accounts, and on those corporate accounts have limits associated with them, have approval capabilities included in them, so that there is an opportunity for these expenditures to be reviewed and monitored. You know, if you get a bill from Staples and they are able to tag that expenditure with what location and even what person made the purchase, and you can start monitoring how much they are using in terms of the services or supplies and whether those are getting out of control. Gas companies also offer corporate credit and debit cards that can be assigned to drivers and vehicles, and it can be a combination so that you can manage how much each driver on each vehicle used, and you can monitor the gas and the mileage. Some of them today with the computers at the pumps make it so that you have to enter a license plate number or vehicle identification number so that the charge is going to a particular vehicle, and enter the mileage at the time that the gas is put into the vehicle. So that helps, first of all, reduce the chance that you'll have an employee come in and fill up their own personal vehicle. And if they do, you can see that, and also enables you to monitor the usage so that you can start seeing if a vehicle is getting what you expect in terms of miles per gallon. If somebody's filling up their personal vehicles, the miles per gallon is going to be greatly reduced, and you can start monitoring that. Also, simple things like purchasing toll pass stickers for corporate vehicles that are used in areas where there's a lot of toll roads. Vendors that provide services to your location, such as janitorial supplies, uniform servicing, beverage servicing, those type of companies all offer corporate accounts, again, where you're able to limit what products and services the locations are allowed to buy. You frequently have corporate pricing on those so that you know that you're getting a negotiated price for the products and services that are being purchased. And so it just, once again, helps regulate what the location is buying and provides you with invoices that give you more than just the amount of what was purchased, but provide you with details in terms of what's being used, and you can start monitoring whether that use is getting out of what its ordinary range is. But the best option, I believe, to control the corporate credit card is what I'll call, it's an enhanced credit card called a procurement card. All the credit card companies today, including American Express, offer procurement cards, and most of them are offered through your banking relationship. At least Visa and MasterCard procurement cards are offered through your banking relationship. American Express still offers them directly through American Express. So let's talk about how a P-card differs from your open account corporate credit card. As I mentioned before, your corporate credit card usually has a very high balance or an unlimited balance, and that's done on purpose or had been done on purpose so that people could purchase what was necessary. If you put too low a balance on them, then you would run into the situation where somebody might not be able to purchase what was needed, and there was no way on traditional corporate credit cards to have that limit changed easily. But what a P-card does is it enables you to issue a procurement card to everybody within the organization that is going to make purchases. And let me back up on corporate credit cards. You usually didn't issue them to everybody because they did have open limits on them. So you would only issue them to managers or to people who traveled a lot. They were limited. And so that's where you get into the situation like we had at my one client, and I know happens in a lot of other businesses, where the manager will authorize people underneath him or her to use his or her corporate credit card to make purchases. So with the procurement card, because of the restrictions that you are able to put on it, it can be issued to everybody, or everybody that you think is going to have the ability to purchase products or services for the corporation. And so then you have the monitoring by person. The other thing you're able to do is you are able to select individual vendors, SIC codes. So let's say that the only thing that a particular person is allowed to purchase on their procurement card is the stuff that comes into the office. Let's say it's the office manager. So that person is going to be allowed to purchase office supplies from, let's say, two vendors, Staples and Office Max. And that person is going to be allowed to pay for the beverage service that comes into the office and maybe the janitorial service that comes into the office. So what you can do on that procurement card is limit that procurement card for that person can only be used for those particular vendors. And then any other charge that that person would try to put on that procurement card wouldn't be authorized. If there's a reason that a person who is holding a procurement card needs to make a purchase that wouldn't normally be put on their credit card or on their procurement card, you have the ability, you as the company, has the ability to go into the internet-based application that the bank or credit card company offers and either authorize individual purchases on the spot or go in ahead of time. Let's say you know that the person is going to be going somewhere and they're going to need to put some travel expenses on their credit card, on their P card that they didn't normally do. You can go in and authorize those vendors for just that particular period of time. So that enables you as a manager to more tightly control what an employee is using that card for and when there has to be charges that are out of their normal charging, you can go in and make those changes immediately, and they become effective immediately. All the different banks have a little bit different internet portals that you can do that with. Some of them also offer the capability where you can put in a purchase request. So let's say the individual employee knew that they were going to have to make a particular purchase. They could go in and put a purchase request in on the P-Card portal, and that then can be routed to whoever his or her manager is for its approval. And then once it's approved, then that is automatically authorized on the P-Card so that the employee can make that particular charge. So in doing that, you now have what you had before, both the flexibility of a corporate credit card with the controls that you would want on a normal procurement process. So while there are needs within companies for cash, and you need things that enable you to be able to make payments to vendors or make purchases without going through a cumbersome procurement process and writing checks, it doesn't have to be wide open. And with today's internet capabilities and the services offered by banks, credit cards, and the individual suppliers themselves, you're now able to control these purchases much better. And as we all know, when purchases are controlled and employees know that they're being watched, it sort of automatically enforces a little bit more honesty. Even though employees, you know, may be inherently honest, when they see that there's a capability that they won't get caught and they can put in, you know, little things that they feel that they deserve, like, okay, you know, I deserve today to have the company pay, you know, they can put a little bit of gas in my car. I've been doing things, or, you know, I've been working overtime or whatever, and so it's not a big deal if I one time, because I don't have cash, go ahead and charge, you know, filling up my car to the corporate credit card. And, or they buy, you know, supplies that they want to use on their own, and we'll just add that to the supply order that comes in. And so while using these new tools, you're not going to completely eliminate that. You will certainly have greater control over things and may very well be able to reduce some of your expenses. So I'd like to open up for questions or comments. Anybody that wants to make a comment, ask a question, tell us about your experience, press *7 and your line will be unmuted. No questions or comments, go ahead and press *7 if you want to make a comment or ask a question.
It's just a comment, Linda. This is Marcy.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I just didn't realize that there were so many different ways to handle all these little things, which, as you so eloquently put it, add up to something gigantic. And it just broadens my scope of understanding of what else is going on in small and large businesses. So thank
you.
That's
great. That's what I'm hoping to do, is expand everybody's knowledge of what's available out there, because, you know, I have several clients. This one I was alluding to, but another one I'm working with right now, that is one of their big quandaries is, well, we have to be able to have our employees buy things, but how do we control it? And it's very hard. The banks don't get around. The banks and credit card companies, you know, don't really get around and make these things known. You don't see big commercials about these types of services, but they're out there, and the banks have spent lots of money on them.
It's setting up the processes to enable companies to do that, right?
Yes, yes. And in a lot of cases, especially the banks with procurement cards, they will take on the cost of setting everything up for you at no charge to you, the company, because they want to get all the money that goes on the P card, right? And so they're willing to set all this up, and they've spent a lot of money on these expensive applications. All of them are internet-based, so anybody can get to them at any time. They have good security on them, so you as the corporation can set up who's allowed to authorize charges, right, and who's allowed just to put in request for authorization, who can look at it, who can look at all of the charges that have been put out there. And so, you know, these applications have really good security, but since they're internet-based, anybody can get to them that has the authorization to get to them. So, you know, and there's no development cost on you, the company's part. So, you know, even the smallest of businesses can get this. All you have to do is have good enough credit to be able to get a Visa account, Visa or MasterCard. So,
yeah, will you be addressing the fact that, well, like Advanta, I just read the other day, Advanta just stopped all of their credit cards to businesses. That was mostly for a business credit card issuer, and so many of the other banks, you haven't done anything and you pay on time all of the time and they're making a lot of money from you, and all of a sudden they almost double your interest rates, so therefore it's making it all so much harder for companies to get credit cards. Will you be addressing that issue?
I hadn't planned on it, but you are right. In this environment, there are some challenges, and Advanta is one of those credit card companies that, you know, I don't know whether they got themselves into trouble because they loosened up too much, but I certainly don't know all the banks, but in my personal experience, Capital One has been a bank that has been very friendly to business, and you know, now I don't know exactly what their rules are, but they haven't followed suit with like Advanta, who has tightened up on people, but they've been very friendly to business. And American Express, while I know American Express has tightened up some of their regulations, American Express pretty much has had an open policy with startup companies, because their goal has been to get startup companies to use American Express, and you know, that was one of their ways of taking market share away from Visa. And they had been very generous with corporate credit cards. All you had to do was have a bank account in your business name, and you could get a corporate credit card. Now, if you didn't pay on time, you know, you'd get it yanked real fast. And of course, the thing with American Express is you have to pay it off every month. So, unlike Visa and the banks that offer Visa and MasterCard, where you can, you know, you could get in pretty deep before they yanked your card. And American Express, if you don't pay every month, you're going to get yanked pretty quickly. So I think American Express has had less of problems, and they also have some new offerings in their Blue Card and stuff like that. So even though there may be some banks like Advanta that are tightening up, I think there's probably still banks out there. And, you know, as it's always been, you have to be a company that has a good credit rating. But I appreciate your information on that, Marcy.
Okay.
Okay, now, Marcy, press *6 to go ahead and mute yourself again.
Okay.
Okay, and is there any other comments? If not, we'll go ahead and start talking about... Yes, Muhammad.
Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, from what you... Well, my comment is that I work with kind of small to middle market companies.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with you on American Express. They have a lot of facilities. In fact, they have a travel and expense software that you can attach to the card where people can online enter their travel and expenses without waiting to get back to the corporate office to put in their receipts, which makes the process quicker.
That's correct.
And the other thing that I like to do with my clients is the mindset should be that a credit card is like a bank account. And I like to operate on what I call an impress system, where you have a certain amount of money, and when it is used up, you have to replenish the account. And you can today download credit card statements every day and, in fact, link it directly to your ledgers, so that you don't have to wait till end of the month paper or end of the month a huge statement to come.
That's right. I appreciate you mentioned that, Mohammed, because the P-Card also does that, where it automatically, you assign your general ledger accounts to the purchases that are being made. So that's the other advantage, is that it reduces a lot of the paperwork on the back end.
Yeah, and I wanted to really pick up on your comment on P-cards as well, because that is true. The procurement cards are becoming very sophisticated. They are, when corporate purchasing managers have established discounted corporate rates for their company, and when somebody gives a P-card, and if it is an above that corporate rate, the P-card will not accept the charge.
Right.
They can set weekends where, you know, people can't use it on weekends, after 11 o'clock in the night, certain restaurants. This is all in an effort to streamline the procedure of approval before the money is spent. After, like, your $16,000, after it is spent, we are all crying over spilt milk. It's done.
That's absolutely correct.
My mindset and the people that are the systems that I work with is try and get before the money is spent. How do you get the approval and the proper amount to be spent done? So So that's, I mean, today's online resources, and both with credit cards online and the reconciliation, you can have a little bit more control without that much more effort, you know?
That's right. And as a matter of fact, with usually with a lot less effort, because like you said, when we're all crying over spilt milk, how much time is spent hand-wringing over who authorized that charge, how did that charge get made, how are we going to stop doing that, how are we going to punish the person that made the charge if we need to punish them, you know, that whole thing. I can tell you at that one instance in my client, there was a whole lot of time and effort spent in hand-wringing over this
right. That
would have been completely eliminated if there had been control over that and they had known ahead of time what was going on and been able to make the decisions, because the decisions about what to do ahead of time would have been made a lot quicker than the decisions, you know, than all the hand-wringing after it was over.
Absolutely.
So I appreciate those comments. So to mute yourself again, Muhammad, go ahead and press star 6. Okay, let's now talk about a whole procurement process, because a lot of the uses of petty cash and corporate credit cards have grown up around circumventing which before were very cumbersome procurement processes. In the days of batch systems and big AP departments and purchasing departments, you had a situation where people had to put in usually a paper purchase order, and then that paper purchase order was manually routed to a variety of different managers depending on what the level was of the expenditure, and before it was approved, and then a purchase order had to be sent to the company, and then the supplier had to send an invoice, and anyway, it was all perceived as a very cumbersome and was, in fact, in a lot of cases, a very cumbersome purchasing process. Today, purchasing processes don't have to be that cumbersome. The modern ERP systems, and there are also special just procurement services, but we'll talk first about modern ERP systems. Almost all of them include, at minimum, an online, if not an internet-based procurement module that enables you to set up all the different rules around procurement so that a person going in and wanting to purchase something, let's say you had to purchase some sort of service at your location, that maybe it was a regular service that was purchased, maybe it was something you did once a year, maybe it was something completely new, or you had some sort of repair. Let's say the air conditioning in the building needed to be repaired, so you had to bring in the air conditioning repair company to do that. And that required that you put in and get a purchase order because you were going to get an invoice. Now, a lot of companies just ignore that whole purchasing process, and an invoice comes in all of a sudden to the accounts payable clerk, and the accounts payable clerk looks at this and says, who authorized this, and what is it? And then the accounts payable clerk has to go on this search to try and figure out where this charge came from and if it's okay to pay this bill. So the procurement process also eliminates that, but more importantly, it gets cost approved ahead of time and gives the opportunity for companies to negotiate with their suppliers in terms of how much they're going to pay for services and then have those negotiated rates enforced when the purchase is made. Because you'll have situations like companies will go out and they will negotiate with vendors. So let's say they negotiate with a particular air conditioning repair service for the service for their units, and let's say they have multiple buildings, or they negotiate with their uniform servicing company on what the cost is going to be and what products the employees are allowed to purchase or to contract for. And so they go through all that trouble of doing that, but then if there's no way to enforce that, the individual locations will say, well, we didn't know that that's where we were supposed to buy this service from, so we went to, you know, my pal over here, and we used his company instead. And then they frequently pay more for that. So with these procurement modules that are in modern ERP systems, you have the ability to go in either on the internet or online, enter whatever the person needs to purchase, and then depending on the rules that have been set up and what the company has done in terms of negotiating with vendors, you can go through a series of the rules within the module so that, let's say, it is an authorized vendor, the cost is being put in based on negotiated cost from that vendor, so that's how much the PO is going to be for, and it's within the person that's requesting the purchase, it's within their approval process, or within their approval amount, I'm sorry, within their approval limits, then that purchase will be automatically approved, and now there will be a purchase order in the system that is out there, and that provides two functions. First of all, a controller or CFO can go out and look on a regular basis as to what are the committed purchases that the company has outstanding so that they can now manage what the cash requirements are going to be. And then secondarily, when the invoices from that vendor comes into the accounts payable department, the accounts payable department can immediately go out and find the purchase order, the approved purchase order, and know that now that is an invoice that can be paid. So you are able to make sure that invoices are paid on time and get whatever discounts might be available for paying those invoices on time. If the request for a purchase is not one that is like within the limit of the person that's requesting or may not be with a negotiated vendor, then you can have rules within the ERP system that send that request electronically to the people that it needs to be sent to have it approved. So in the case of just something that, let's say, is outside of your spending limit, it may just go to your direct manager for approval. But in the case of, let's say, our example of a $16,000 capital expenditure, that's going to go through a different approval process and may end up probably on the controller's desk or somebody in operations also that has to approve these things. But instead of them being pieces of paper that are being mailed around and stuck in somebody's inbox for days, they are emails that are sent immediately to the person. They usually show up in their email inbox. The person can select that email, which then allows them to go directly and look at the request and either electronically make changes, send back remarks, or approve or deny the request immediately. So now you have control, but again, because of technology capabilities, we have control immediately. And so the person that's making the request isn't waiting days or weeks to get their purchase order approved and have a very cumbersome process. They're able to get it approved literally within minutes, possibly, and probably within hours. Because then the other thing you have is if this email sits in a person's inbox for whatever defined period of time you have, let's say that you define within your system that within 2 hours, if an email is not approved or denied, it's going to be escalated to somebody else. So other people have it longer, you know, a day. But those are rules that you as the individual company define, and then it's escalated to somebody else. And also with today's technology where we get emails on our iPhones or on our our iPhones or Blackberries, the one I have, then you can, you know, while you're traveling, you're a manager that's out in the field, you get an email right away and somebody's requesting to be able to purchase something, you're able to look at that and approve it or decline it right away. or say, you know, I'll have to look at this in a couple hours when I get back to the office, whatever. But we certainly, through technology, have the ability that these requests for expenditures can be approved or denied or reviewed in a very rapid time frame, and we don't have the cumbersome processes that it used to be to get a purchase order done. I have one client that they have a process in their main plant where all the managers are that people have to put in a purchase requisition and it has to be approved, but because it's paper, right, they're still doing it the old way, and it's paper, and so people in the main plant put in the request and have to have it approved, but people in the other locations, because they don't want to have to go through that cumbersome process, then they don't have to do a purchase requisition or a purchase order for things that they order in the office, office services and office supplies and general procurement. So guess what? Those outlying locations are spending more than the corporate offices because there isn't the oversight. They're in the process of implementing a new ERP system, and when they do, they'll be able to put in the standard processes across all of their locations, and they won't be overly cumbersome. So I recommend that companies look at their ERP systems. This gets back to what we talked about last week on building a strong foundation. The key component of your foundation is an updated and maintained ERP system that should have a good procurement process built into it for electronic approvals, for online entry of requests, for the ability to define negotiated rates from vendors and negotiated products so that, you know, you can say that people can only buy selected items. Let's say for the janitorial service or the uniform servicing company that comes to your location, you as a company have defined what the basics of the uniform is going to be or what the products are that you're going to use for your janitorial services, and you've negotiated rates on those. Well, then those get put into your procurement process, and so then when a location puts in a request for a particular product, if it's not on the approved product list, then it's not going to be authorized to be purchased. And they'll have to, you know, you might be able to get special authorization for that, but it'll have to go through a different process. So it cuts down on the ability of people to order what you would say are legitimate corporate expenses, but things that the company just doesn't want to authorize for whatever reason, because they want to enforce standards in how people are dressing or because they don't want you to buy the $200 jacket. There's a different jacket that they've decided or they've negotiated a better price. You know, $75 for jackets, and they want you to buy that particular one. So it enables you to easily enforce all of those requirements without a cumbersome process. So that is my comments on the procurement process. And so I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines for everybody, and we can have comments and questions. Okay, all the lines are unmuted now. Does anybody have any comments or questions on either of the topics?
You explained it so well, I don't have any questions, Linda.
Okay, great. anybody else? Okay, well, our next teleseminar is in 2 weeks. It'll be on Thursday, June 18th. And as I had mentioned earlier, I have my new blog up, and I wish you all go out and look at the blog. The website is www.hiddenprofitsblog.com, And I will be talking about a lot of these different subjects that are covered in the teleseminar in short form. I'll put up different places to go look, different banks, for example. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Different banks and different vendors that you can use, different examples of things to use. New things that I come across will be posted out on the blog. So please take a look at that, and you can also subscribe to it to get updates or get notification of the updates when they come out. And for anybody that would like to have an assessment on their cash processes and or procurement processes, please feel free to contact me either by telephone at 818-709-6583 or email me at Linda, L-Y-N-D-A, dot Roth at ljrconsultingservices.com. Thanks very much, and I will talk to you all in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Linda.
Bye-bye.